Welcome in to the newest edition of the Just In Time Sports Podcast. I am your owner and host, Justin Jackson. And this week's episode, we'll be discussing the NFL Week 5 and 6. We will have our successful NFL betting segment, Jack's Pack. We'll be touching on the WNBA as they started their finals this evening. We'll be talking about the MLB playoffs as well. And of course, we'll always have our best for last. Now, as always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow and turn on your post notifications for the social media handle at JTimeSports. I repeat, at JTimeSports. Follow your breaking news coverage and updates. But as always, sit back and enjoy yourself.
JTS.
Yeah.
Just In Time Sports.
Life is good.
Look, this is Just In Time Sports. Come and get your weekly takes. His opinion from the heart. He can never show you fake. If you winning or you losing, he gon' tell it to you straight. How we talking basketball without a Jordan Brown debate? If you got the hottest takes, you better come and make your case. If you win a couple games, he might even show you grace. JTS on every platform, we growing adaptation. Numbers going off the charts, we create the separation. Louisiana till I die, it's where I'm from, I can't replace it. So people minds are obtuse, but I like to be adjacent. Giving my opinion like I'm Nick Wright or I'm Jason. ESPN better watch out, cause I'm coming for the spaceship. We even tweeting on Twitter, you can meet us in the spaces. Highlight clips of sports news, yeah, you gotta embrace it. We never had it easy, we just came from the pavement. I might be controversial, but I like to make my statements. This is Just In Time Sports, come and get your weekly takes. His opinion from the heart, he can never show you fake. Look, if you winning or you losing, he gon' tell it to you straight. This is Just In Time Sports, come and get your weekly takes. He gon' tell it to you straight, to you straight.
Welcome into the show. Welcome into the Just In Time Sports Podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, subscribe. Definitely subscribe to the show. As always, don't forget to follow the post follow and turn on the post notifications. My mouth and tongue is all over the place today. The social media handle at JTimeSports. I repeat, at JTimeSports for all of your breaking news, updates, coverage, and the sort. I'm excited to be here. As you can hear in my tone, I've missed you guys. I truly do miss doing this. Like, whenever I don't get to do this, and football season, I'm a coach. We're really good this year. We're 4-1, the Baker Buffaloes. And also the coach of the Little League team, South Baton Rouge Rams. Or a coach of the Rams, rather. My schedule's always off, right? And so I already don't like to record usually when there's a game on, and I'm recording Thursday night, so obviously the WNBA game is on, the MLB game is on, the NFL game is on, right? So I never typically like to do that because I like to give you guys full updates, right? So, and we're going to do that. We're going to pop in on the WNBA. I'm watching that now. We're going to pop in on the MLB, talk about what's going down over there. We're going to talk about all these different things, but of course, this is an NFL-dominated show, right? So we're going to start off with the NFL. We're going to start off with the team that just keeps on giving. The team that just finds a way to continue to give us content. The New York Jets, of course, because who else would it be besides the New York Jets? They have decided to fire Nathaniel Hackett. Now, am I one to say, hey, Nathaniel Hackett should have his job, you know, completely just unabated. They should have their job. He should have his job. No, I'm not one to say that. I'm not one to say that. I'm saying Nat Hackett should have his job. Yes, but I'm not saying Nat Hackett should be the coach of the New York Jets after this season. Not Nat Hackett. I'm sorry. So sorry. I'm saying Nat Hackett. Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh was fired. I mean, Nat Hackett was fired too. We'll get to him. But Robert Saleh was fired by the New York Jets. Now, again, am I one to say that Robert Saleh should have his job? I told you my brain was all over the place today. No, I'm not arguing that Robert Saleh should be the long-term coach of the Jets moving forward. I am arguing that Robert Saleh should be leading his team out this week against the Buffalo Bills. I'm arguing that. Look, the New York Jets are a mess. They're a mess everywhere. They're a mess at ownership. They're a mess at general manager. They were a mess at offensive coaching and offensive player selection. They were a mess at quarterback. They were a mess at the offensive line. They were a mess pretty much at receiver outside of Gary Wilson. Like, they were a mess of an organization. Defensively, they were fine, although they had some issues personnel-wise, but that's what Robert Saleh did. He designed a top three defense during his time with the Jets, even as head coach. And so, with that being said, it was a shocking non-shock when Robert Saleh was fired by the Jets. Well, Justin, why do you say that? I say that because whenever your star quarterback, who you paid a lot of money, who you invested a lot into the franchise, who has done a lot of different things for you off the field that you cannot done, and has added a level of cachet, respect, and attention to your franchise, openly, unopenly, doesn't like the coach tends to go. Now, the Jets were 2-3. It's not like the Jets were 5-0, 4-1, and this change happened. The Jets were 2-3. Robert Saleh does have a negative winning record, a negative win percentage, not negative, but below 500 win percentage as the head coach of the New York Jets. I believe it's like 20-36 or something like that as head coach of the New York Jets. He's only won 7 games, I believe, twice. However, he was also strapped with Zach Wilson. I don't think he ever had Sam Darnold, but I know he had Zach Wilson and 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers on his first series pops his Achilles. So he's never had elite quarterback play. But the Jets allow Robert Saleh to come in to the building like a regular old day. Like he was about to come. He gets fired on a Tuesday, I think. But he's about to come in, lead his guys. And he's promptly called into owner Winnie Johnson's office. Nothing unusual. I saw that a lot on Hard Knocks, where it's like, you know, the head coach is sitting in the GM's office and then the owner walks in and it's like, yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Or the coach is walking around, the owner walks up to him. Like, you know, I was able to see that in Hard Knocks with the Giants. Like, that kind of conversation, it's not like at a traditional job. So like at a traditional job, for instance, the cubicle worker doesn't necessarily talk to the director of anything. You know, there's usually an assistant director in between or related to the school. You know, it's rare that a teacher ever has a meeting with like the principal one-on-one unless they've done something wrong, right? But it's not like just a, hey, you're gonna meet with the principal now, or hey, you're meet with the owner of the company. Like, that's not how that works. So, but however, that was the case in the Hard Knocks with the that was the case of the Hard Knocks with the Giants. Like, the owner, Mara, we just talked to Brian Daboll, right? And that's something that's normal in the sport world, but not necessarily normal in the business world. And so, you know, my brain just didn't allow that to be the case at first. But, you know, back to the Jets, back to the team, the other team in East Weatherford. You know, he was Robert Saleh reportedly was called in. And he was called in to talk to Woody Johnson. Woody Johnson promptly lets him go. And then he's immediately escorted out of the building. That's a Jets. Are Jets, that's ridiculous. And I don't want to spend too long on this because I have a feeling that my next point is going to be a long one. But Jets, that's ridiculous. You didn't even let the man address his team one last time. The next time his team heard from him was either via group chat, or they heard from him with the statement that he released. Absolutely ridiculous. An absolute joke. Let's move into what continues to happen that week. So Aaron Rodgers does his weekly spot on the Pat McAfee show, where he categorically denies that he had any involvement in Robert Saleh's firing, that him and Robert Saleh have a great relationship, and that he was actually hurt and shocked by the firing of Robert Saleh, and that Saleh was one of the reasons he came to New York. Great. All for that. Cool. I believe you. I also believe very strongly that Rodgers caught wind of the report of the reported soon to be dismissal of Nathaniel Hackett. That's why Nathaniel Hackett's name was in my brain. Right a couple hours after Robert Saleh was let go, reports became flying around that he was going to fire Nat Hackett or strongly consider firing Nat Hackett, which is Aaron Rodgers' homeboy and the Jets' offensive coordinator. So many people believe, oh, okay, that's what happened. You hurry up, ran to the owner, and got Saleh out of there so your boy Nat Hackett will continue to have employment. Not the worst thing to do, bad business, but, you know, protect your friend kind of thing. Well, Aaron Rodgers categorically denies that that is the case. He did so on Pat McAfee's show today or yesterday, one of the two. He categorically denied that was the case, which is, you know, it's his prerogative to say that. You know, like, I disagree with that statement. It would behoove him to do so. It would be wild if it wasn't. If he just came out and said, yeah, I got Saleh fired, that'd be insane, right? But Nathaniel Hackett was a bad – he was an okay offensive coordinator, we think, because he got his fame. He rose to fame as the offensive coordinator under Zach LaFleur in Green Bay with prime Aaron Rodgers and prime Devontae Adams. So you're not calling the plays. You're not organizing the plays. You're effectively running a meeting. You're a puppet if you're the OC in Green Bay. And that's what Nat Hackett was. And, you know, he was so good of a puppet that he convinced the Denver Broncos to hire him as head coach. And he was so good of a puppet that he got fired really, really fast because he sucks at his job. And then Aaron calls him and goes, hey, buddy, got something for you to land. And so now the Jets have removed Aaron's play calling. And so now at this point, he's truly just Aaron's friend. I think he's like was the quarterback coach or something now, but he's truly at this point just Aaron's friend. And that's a wild thing to be as an NFL coordinator. All right. So, got through the Jets. I have a bone to pick with a certain coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. His name is Zach Taylor. I have a bone to pick with Zach Taylor. And I'm going to do this with the least amount of cursing as I can do. Zach Taylor should be fired as head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. He should be fired right now. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't think about it too hard. Just do it. Zach Taylor should be fired as head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals on grounds of professional malfeasance, incompetency, and idiocy. What Zach Taylor did in the fourth quarter of that Cincinnati Bengals game, not the fourth quarter, the overtime period of that Cincinnati Bengals game, should go down in the coaching handbook as the exact stupidest, dumbest, and ignorant thing you can do in an overtime period. So for those of you who do not know, I will walk you through the situation. The Bengals and the Ravens are putting on an offensive weaponry show. The quarterbacks have made brilliant plays on both sides. Lamar has some highlights that were flat out jaw-dropping. Joe Burrow is leading his team in the touchdown drives almost as easy as breathing. Well, right before, the Ravens make a little mini comeback. So they get it down. I think they get down to 3 or 7. They get down to 1 score. And Joe Burrow throwing the interception. The interception leads to the game tying score, which ultimately leads to overtime. So in overtime, ultimately in overtime, you want the ball first. You can score a touchdown and go home. Right? Well, I think even now in the regular season, you get both chances. But whatever. You want to... You know, you want to set the pace, basically. And the reason why that is because it makes people think. So, for instance, if we, let's just say, oh, you know, I coached in a game where it was 3 overtimes, right? And the strategy for each overtime was different, You know, each time that was an overtime, it was different. Who got ball first, who didn't, so on and so forth, right? But anyway, the Baltimore Ravens ultimately get the ball first. Lamar fumbles. He had snap issues early in the game, and he ended up turning into one of those brilliant plays. This time, he was not as lucky, and he fumbles. The ball gets kicked, and next thing you know, the Cincinnati Bengals have the ball probably around the 50-yard line. Not quite the 50, but in the area of the 50-yard line or 45-yard line, whatever. And so Zach Taylor, who's had an offense that is setting records at this point. I mean, most the touchdowns Bengals have thrown. Burrow's having an absolutely brilliant night. Like, he had one slightly errant throw that gets intercepted. You decide, as the head coach of the organization, with a quarterback who's rolling and an offensive head coach, to run the damn ball into the line of scrimmage three consecutive times. There is a certain level of anger that courses through my body when I see people in positions that require either a lot of training, a lot of education, both, or takes a lot of hard physical work. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, right? It bothers me when there's people in that position who suck at their position. Zach Taylor sucks as being a head coach. The only time I would let him head coach is if he was head coaching my peewee team. And even then, I'd be critical because the clock rules are different. Who knows if he took time to learn those? The Bengals, as talented as they are, enter every year 0-2, 0-3. I mean, every single year. So you're sitting yourself behind the eight ball. You're not that great of a coach. You better be glad Joe Burrow panned out. And it's just like, It's infuriating watching him coach. So after running his running back into the line three consecutive times and gained all of about 3 to 4 yards, Zach Taylor decides, hey, 56-yard field goal. Bitch, you can't do that. And it's like, dude, there is just no way. And that, as Evan McPherson's trotting onto the field, who I'm sure in his head's like, I'm going to knock this through. We're going to win this game. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going, you deserve all of this. You're an idiot. I said it in a repeat. I just kept saying it. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. You deserve all of this. I hope he misses because you don't deserve to win. And it was a bad snap, bad hold. McPherson shanks it left. Baltimore goes down. Ball game. And I was just saying it. You deserve to lose. You deserve everything that is about to happen because you are an idiot. And it's just like, bruh, like, I really want him fired. I think there's multiple coaches and elite level coaches that would love to get their hands on Cleveland. I think Bill Belichick would love to get his hands on Cleveland. I think Clint Kubiak would love to get his hands not on Cleveland, on Cincinnati. Like, I just believe that a couple of these franchises who have superstar assistant coaches, or is that, you know, not rough and rugged, but, you know, you get it. Like, if you get anybody, one of those guys, like I said, Bill Belichick comes to mind almost immediately. Get one of those guys, the Bengals will be fine. But this is a mess in Cincinnati, led by that nincompoop Zach Taylor. All right, so Mayday, Mayday, Mayday is here. The New England Patriots have officially brought May in October, as the New England Patriots have decided to begin the Drake May era against Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week. I'm so excited for that as well. Obviously, Drake May is our quarterback. I'll be in the New England Patriots, so anytime that there's big Patriots news, you can expect it to be covered here. And I'm just excited, because anytime there's Patriots news, especially at this level, it's a different level of excitement. And so I'm excited. Drake May owned up to wearing number 10 right after Mac Jones departed from it, and it's just like, you know, it's difficult, right, to be fully excited for Drake May, because you know about the behind the offensive line in which he plays. He's not overtly mobile, so that's going to be something that we're going to keep our eye on for Drake May. But up next, we're going to shift our focus into NFL Week 6. Welcome back into the show. And now we are going to jump into NFL Week 6. I'm recording this during the Thursday night football game, which is not something I typically like to do for a multitude of reasons. Mainly because, again, I don't like having conversations in big moments during games. Oh, whoa, Courtney Williams, what a shot. Yo, so you know, I was watching the WNBA game. We're going to talk about the WNBA in a couple of topics. But Courtney Williams down three in New York. And she made the free throw. Down three in New York. Gets fouled on a four-point play and drills the three. Oh, wow. And the free throw links her up one with 5.5 left. That's insane. That's actually wild. Hell of a shot by Courtney Williams. Ionescu can't follow there. Big rebound by the Lynx. Presence of mind to step back and to immediately fire again. That's confidence. That is confidence. She caught that shot knowing, caught that pass, caught that kick out with 6 seconds left knowing I have to shoot this three. She was shooting it. It didn't matter. Hell of a shot by Courtney Williams. And I was actually at my coaches hang with my fellow coaches at Baker, and we were talking like, man, I looked up and said, oh, she's got to be huge tonight. Like, straight up, I'm like, Courtney Williams got to be big tonight. He's going to be one of the best players on the floor. Wow, hell of a shot. But, yeah, anyway, back to Thursday Night Football. There was just a kick return back, actually, the second one of the season. Laviska Shenault becomes the second person to run one of the new style kicks back. San Fran leads 23-9 with 9:54 left in the third quarter. So that is our update on Thursday Night Football. And, you know, if another score happens or something while we're recording, we'll update, of course. But let's get into the NFL Week 6. So we've got the Bears versus the Jags in London. Now, this is a game that's technically a Bears home game, but it's going to feel like a Jags home game. The Jags have been going over there for years. I remember when the NFL first started doing the international series, and they went to, well, it wasn't even international series at that point, it was the London game, because it was the only game. It was called the London game, and the London game was the Jags. I remember the first time they showed the crowd, it was just a whole bunch of NFL jerseys. It was like any British or any Englishman that had an NFL jersey, just put the jersey on. It didn't matter. It was Jags versus whomever. It didn't matter. It was just their goal was to put on an NFL jersey and go to the game. And so, like I said, so it was weird. It was, I wish I remember who the Jags played, but it was old Vikings jerseys. It was Cowboy jerseys everywhere. It was some Jags jerseys. It was just in as many different uniforms you could think of was in the crowd. They just put on a football jersey. Year two, the Jags go, right? Year two, the Jags go, and the most popular player is the kicker. Because if you think about it over there, it's soccer. So the most popular player on the team was the kicker. That was the most popular jersey. Was the kicker. But now we've grown so much. Like I said, we've gone from just the one London game to the international series. The CFL. I say very shocking that they've not gotten into Canada because it was right there, but the CFL. But all in London, it was still the Jaguars on London's team because they went over there 3 or 4 years in a row. Like, everybody had to go at some point, but the London, but the Jaguars went every year because of how bad the stadium was at the time. They was like, hey, just go. Basically, one of your home games is going to be in London. So the Jaguars, like I said, end up becoming London's team. But now with the international series, you keep getting, you get games, jeez, all over the place. But this game for the Bears, while technically a road game, this game for the Bears will feel, while technically a home game, this game for the Bears will feel like a road game. Because again, London is going to support the Jags, and they're going to be 75% to 80%, in my opinion, Jags, neutral to Jags. And that's, you know, not good for the Bears. But oh, and they still, oh, they called the foul. They called the foul. Wow. Stewie forces her way in on an inbound play. She slips right to the basket. I have no idea how the Lynx let her do it. She slips right to the basket and they call the foul. Oh, wow. Now they're going to review to find out if the foul occurred before time expired. Yeah. Yeah. It looks like it expired because I see a downward contact. I see a hit to the arm. Yeah, I would call that about 0.3, 0.4. Ooh, maybe 0.6. You might get 0.6 out of it. Wow, huge, huge call. And I think they kind of missed the call right before that on another Stewie drive, but huge, huge, huge call. But anyway, so this is a game where, back to the NFL, where the Jags are going to have home field advantage. I think ultimately, I think the Jags ultimately do win this game. This is a game I don't bet on. I do not touch the international series. It's just the travel's weird, the food's weird. The stadium is weird. Everything about it is weird besides the fact that the football field length hasn't changed. And then the gear on my helmet, of course, hasn't changed. It was just weird with the different backgrounds. And then you have sideline reporters. Like I say, it's just weird. I don't bet on the national games, but if I had to, I would bet on the I'm about to call them the London Jags, but the Jacksonville Jaguars, just because of their comfortability in the space of London. All right, we have a big showdown, a rookie and the vet level showdown between Jaden Daniels and his Washington Commanders over at Lamar Jackson and his red-hot Ravens. And I can pick this game because I can't pick this game. It is in Jack's pack. However, I will tell you this will be an exciting game. This will be a game where the styles are similar, but they're different. Lamar Jackson, his second read is get out of there. Jaden Daniels is not a get out of there quarterback. He does maintain speed. He will run QB design runs, but juxtaposed to like Lamar, we get so many of Lamar's plays being off script with you can tell he wants to scramble, then he looks up and finds somebody. Like, you can just see so many of Lamar's is unscripted. Jaden Daniels' runs always felt like they were in the flow of the offense. So, like in the NBA, you see guys just score on the flow of the offense, you look up and they have 25, and you're like, when did so-and-so get 25? But you see the guy who dribble, step back, all the other stuff, he gets his 25, and you're like, oh, God, I remember that. It's very similar to what Lamar and Daniels did. I would have never guessed Daniels had 300 yards rushing, but it feels like I know every time Lamar picks up a yard on the ground. And so it's a different styles. Like I said, Daniels is a more pocket guy. Lamar is a runner, more of a runner. However, they are both vitally important to the movement of the African-American quarterback in this league. And so I am rooting for both guys. It's just, unfortunately, one of them has to be defeated. The Chargers at the Broncos. This is a case of the AFC West and their identities. So the Chargers right now have a way of basically relegating, for all intents and purposes, the Cincinnati Bengals to a different league. It is what it is. The the Chargers have an identity, and you'll always have an identity with Jim Harbaugh, but he also has an identity of burnout. So what I worry about the Chargers is that his rah-rah, aggressive, fire-in-the-wind style is going to burn them out, especially if they are not winning. So if they are not winning, that rah-rah style, that, you know, that battle cry style burns people out. But it's a big game, because if you win this game, you're above 500, and you're looking, again, your whole season's in front of you. Lose this game, it could be interesting. Same thing with the Denver Broncos. Win this game, you're back to, I believe, 500. I think you're 2-3 right now. And again, everything you want's in front of you. You can still sneak into the playoffs. This would be a big win for Bo Nix to have under his belt. It's a divisional game with Justin Herbert on the other side. And so this is a big game for everybody involved. It is not Jack's pack. I can pick it. I am picking the Los Angeles Chargers. They're a better franchise. Herbert's the better quarterback. At this point, I believe Harbaugh's coaching circles around Sean Payton, especially the professional level. And it's just all Chargers here. Check boxes to me. Maybe in a couple of years, but right now, all check boxes go to the Chargers. So give me the Chargers. Lions at Cowboys, a game that I also don't have in my Jax pack. A game that I will pick the Lions here. Look, the Cowboys defense is putrid, to be kind. And so the Cowboys are gonna have to deal with a team off a bye. The Lions have had the extra rest. It is in Dallas. That's typically not as big of an issue as the Cowboys want it to be. But again, it's in Dallas. This is going to be a game where I just think that the Lions have their way on the ground and therefore open up those play actions. Amon Ra gets two big catches, and the Lions win kind of ugly, but they get the job done. 26-17. Like I said, kind of ugly, but they get the job done in order to defeat the Dallas Cowboys. Also, Thursday Night Football update. The Seahawks have trimmed the lead more. 23-17, 49ers right now. So the Seahawks are charging back. It could be one of those collapses in San Fran that sets people back, like that sets the franchise back a little bit if the Seahawks were to come back. And our last game preview of NFL Week 6. It's on Jack's Pack. We won't pick it. But it is the Cincinnati Bengals at the New York Giants. Look, I scoriated Zach Taylor earlier. I flambassed Zach Taylor earlier. He loses to the New York Giants. He should never be allowed to coach in the state of Ohio again. I have never been more serious on this show. And I've actually delivered incredibly serious news on this show. I've actually talked about incredibly serious things. I talked about things that are gut-wrenching, that are tear-jerking on this show. And I have never, and I doubt I ever will, discuss a point of the removal of Zach Taylor's coaching ability in the state of Ohio if he loses to the New York Giants. I don't care if it's East Weatherford. I don't care if Daniel Jones is playing like a top 15 guy this year. I don't care if the Cincinnati Bengals defense has been, how can I say this, porous, to be kind. I don't care. They have no business losing this game, and people should actually riot if the Bengals lose. But up next, we're going to have our NFL betting segment, Jack's Pack. Welcome back into the show, and now we're going to move into our NFL betting segment, Jack's Pack. Last week, we had our first 500 week of the year. We usually have one or two of these where we go 2-2-1. We haven't had anything like with more ties than that. But this week we went 2-2-1. Our last week went 2-2-1 rather, which brings our total to 14-10-1, which hits our golden number of 56%. We nail it perfectly. We're at 56%. So that is the position we're in now. We were dangerously close to 3-2. We had our tie, actually. We hit the number was perfect. We took plus 3. We took Jags minus 3. The Jags win by 3. So... So that actually hit perfectly. The number in Vegas was perfect. It happens from time to time. It usually happens the more we get into the season. It's harder to pick the teams because Vegas has balanced itself out for the most part. There's still a couple of what the heck is that? But Vegas balanced itself out for the most part after the first couple weeks of the season. But let's get into our picks. Our first number, it hurts to do this. I know it's a mayday. I know it's his debut. I don't care. Our first number is Texans minus 6.5 at the Patriots. Take the Texans. The Patriots may not score 17 points. I don't see the Texans scoring less than 24. Even with the good as the New England defense has been, it's just May's going to put you in a bad spot a couple of times. Like, it is what it is, right? And I am just saying the Texans are going to win this game by a touchdown or more. And that's all I'm saying. 24-17, he nails this bet. I think it'll be more of 27-13. But the Houston Texans win. So take the Texans minus 6.5. Our second game is Commanders plus 6.5 at the Ravens. Take the Commanders. Look, I told you guys. I'm all the way in on the Jaden Daniels bandwagon. And I told you, hey, at a certain point, I might be driving it. I told you guys last week, I'm driving it. And I'm going to keep driving it. He hit plus 6.5 on the road at Baltimore. His first time going into Baltimore. But it's also, this is a guy who's played at Alabama. Right? So he's been in environments before where he's had to feel like he's done a lot. And he's going to have to do it again. They see he's playing against Lamar Jackson. He spoke about all that. Again, the situation where 23-17 nails it. And that's kind of where I'm at with it. Do I see the Commanders winning outright? No. But if they do, obviously it nails the pick. But I just don't see them winning outright. I think Baltimore gets the win. Close. Very close. I think Baltimore gets the win. It'll be close, but it'll be very, very close. And the Ravens squeak out possibly with a Justin Tucker field goal. My third number of the week, Atlanta minus 6 at Carolina. I have a firm rule in the NFL. If it's Carolina driven or Carolina is the team you're going against, take the team that Carolina's going against. Every time. Every single time. I don't even care what the spread is. Take the Carolina Panthers. Opponent. The Atlanta Falcons are sitting in minus 6. They're going to play Carolina. This is just saying they expect the Atlanta Falcons to keep it less than a Super Bowl. A touchdown, I'm sorry. They expect the Carolina Panthers to keep it less than a touchdown. I can assure you that is possible. That is going to happen. It may end up being the other way around. I'm not even sure. But that is the situation in Atlanta. Bengals minus 3.5 at the Giants. I spoke about Zach Taylor. I spoke about he has to win this game. I'm even putting my bet on you, Zach Taylor, having your team ready to go. Jesus Christ, can't believe I said that. And prepared to play football, which is not something that is often done in Cincinnati, especially early in the season. But this is around the time of year where Cincy starts picking it up. So we're going to keep our eye on that. But I got the Bengals minus 3.5 at the Giants. And then our last pick, Bills minus 2.5 at the Jets. I'm not sure why it's only 2.5. My book would have it at 5.5 or 6. I don't care if it's a new head coach. NIK got a new head coach to prepare for 2-3 days. I'm sure he's scrambling, just trying to. Whoa, New York steals the inbound. This is insane. So we're just not gonna have a WNBA update. The Lynx steal. Oh, good block by Stewie. So the Lynx force it into overtime. The Liberty miss a free throw. Stewie misses a free throw. The Minnesota's turn the ball over back to back time with under a minute left. Wow. So now Minnesota has the ball. 14 seconds left. It goes into Collier. That's a bad spot for her. Shoots over John Quayle. She nailed it. Collier over John Quayle. And she nails it to go up 2 with 8.4 seconds left. And it feels like almost like deja vu. We're back in the same spot we were in. But anyway, back to Jack's Pack. I don't understand this number. If it was -5.5, -6, I'd think about it. -2.5, hammer it. The Bills are a much better football team. The Jets are a dysfunctional, disorganized team in utter disarray and disillusioned. So I've got the Buffalo Bills there, -2.5. But up next, recap. Texans -6.5 at the Patriots. Commanders +6.5, at the Ravens. Falcons -6 at Carolina. Bengals -3.5 at the Giants. Bills -2.5 at the Jets. But up next, we're going to discuss the MLB and the WNBA really quickly, given that updates, and as you can hear, I've been talking about the WNBA the whole time anyway. We are back. Welcome back into the Just in Time Sports Podcast. In this segment, we're going to talk about the MLB and the WNBA. They're both roaring in their playoffs. The WNBA are currently in their finals. Literally, I'm watching the end of Game 1. And Major League Baseball is in their divisional series. I'm a Yankees fan, so we're definitely going to touch on them. It won't be a long segment, but it will be an informative segment. Oh, feet gave it. Any of it a shot? Oh, they called it on the ground. Wow, I would have gave it to you on the shot. Whatever. All right, so anyway, I'm watching the end of the WNBA Finals. We'll talk about that, like I said, as the game ends. And then, or if it goes to the overtime, we'll go to baseball, I guess. But as the game ends, we will continue forward with this topic. And we will, at that point, be discussing Major League Baseball and giving updates on those series, as everyone may not have known that they are in the divisional series. Stewie drives a lane and she missed it. Stewie misses a layup. Oh, Stewie York misses a layup. So she missed a free throw at the end of regulation in order to she missed a free throw at the end of regulation in order to go up 1. And then she misses a layup at the end of overtime to tie it to go into second overtime. And the Lynx, on the strength of a Courtney Williams 4-point play and Courtney Williams outside shooting in general, get an opportunity, steal game 1, complete the tied for the completion for the largest comeback in WNBA history with 18 points, in WNBA Finals history with 18 points, and the Lynx steal game 1 from the Liberty. It was a party in Brooklyn in the third quarter. Like, I'm talking Spike Lee. It was a whole thing. Everybody was celebrating at the start of the fourth quarter, and it was just silence after that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just quiet. It stunned silence right now in the Barclays. That is insane. Hell of a game between the Liberty and Lynx. I can do 5 games of this. Give me 5 games of this. I'm with it. I am absolutely with it. in terms of giving us five games of this and give me Aces Liberty for seven games next year. Wow. I mean, hell of a game, right? I mean, it's like, it's just, you're just like, man, what a game, man. Like, wow. Congratulations to the Lynx on winning game one. They're two wins away, I think, from their fifth WNBA title in their tenure. Because I think Maya Moore and Simone Augustus and that crew has four. So their fifth title in their franchise's history. But now let's talk about Major League Baseball, which was honestly the point of this segment. They are currently in the divisional series. They had the wild card round, then the divisional round, then the ALNLCS in the World Series. So they're currently in the divisional round. The Yankees are currently playing the Dodgers. Not the Dodgers. Yankees are currently playing the Royals. At top of the ninth, full count, one out. Yankees up 3-1. If they win tonight, they will have eliminated the Royals and punch their ticket into the ALCS, where they will host with home field advantage either the Guardians or the Tigers, because that series is tied 2-2, headed to Cleveland. The New York Mets is the only team that has their ticket punched into any CS, as they have punched into the NLCS by beating the Phillies 3-1. And they are awaiting the winner. They are waiting to see where they fly. They either fly to San Diego or they fly to the Dodgers. And you know, that's just the situation there. So I'm keeping my eye on the Yankee game. I'm excited though, man. Baseball is exciting in the postseason, right? Baseball, you're ready to go in the postseason in baseball. So definitely an exciting time of year for baseball. Said shout out to the WNBA. This is a sports fan like mental overload. Hockey's here. The NBA is doing preseason. Baseball is in not even nowhere near the World Series, and WNBA is in the finals. It is like mental brain overload. Oh, and then football is also tonight. The NFL is playing tonight as well. Absolute sports overload for the casual fan, and kind of even more for me. Absolutely wild. What happened? I just can't get past it. Like, it was like they just took off on a run, and there was nothing the Liberty could do about it. The entire run. It's just wild. It's just. But we'll keep you guys updated on the Yankees game as we continue, unless they finish after. Yeah, they're going to finish after we finish. So, yeah, Yankees are 3-1, top of the ninth. Hold on, and they go to the ALCS. But up next, we're going to have our best flash, which is going to be at college football 2-minute drill. Welcome back into the show. And now I'm going to do, honestly, a segment that is growing on me. And that is the 2-minute timeout for college football. Like I said, it's growing on me. It's growing on me. I did it the first time. Not really as a joke or anything, but like, I did it the first time. Kind of, it was a big college football weekend. Again, I didn't really have a place for it in the show, so I was like, oh, I'm going to do a 2-minute drill. That's been the big thing in college football this year. And it stuck. And I enjoy it. We're going to keep running it. We're going to have our college football 2-minute drill. I'm going to put 2 minutes on my phone clock. And when the bell goes off, I am done. We're going to get started in 3, 2, 1. Timer starts. All right, so this is the weekend that we have been waiting for. If you are a college football fan, you have been waiting for this season, this week, for a very long time. Remember on Twitter, it was something about how nobody scheduled a wedding on October 12th. I might miss, you know, my child's birth if it's October 12th. But guess what Saturday is? October 12th. So we open the door. We open the door with South Carolina at Alabama. First off, a loss against Vandy. Who cares about that game? But then we have the Red River rivalry, the new number one team in the country. Texas travels to Dallas to meet Oklahoma, who also travels to Dallas State Fairgrounds. It's going to be cool. The red on one side, the orange on the other. 5-0 Texas, 4-1 Oklahoma, 2:30 p.m. Central Time. Then we have Penn State on the road against USC at 2:30. Mostly who cares? All right, let's get to the big boys. Number 2, Ohio State at number 3, Oregon. The first big clash of the new Big Ten schools. USC and UCLA have had a battle, but no one's had this. Ohio State takes their aerial assault and their show on the road to Autzen Stadium, where they will face the number 3 team in the land, Oregon, who have a lot to prove on the national stage. That game's at 6:30. Number 9, Ole Miss on the road at number 13 LSU in Baton Rouge in Death Valley. It's at night. Good luck to the Ole Miss team dealing with that team at night, with the smoke is going to be in the air from the fireworks, and it's going to get dark and the lights are going to be on. Weird things happen in that stadium when that happens. And then the Kansas State, number 18 Kansas State closed it out at Colorado with a 9:15 slot. And that is how we will conclude the day that everybody's waiting on. Also, Ash and Genty might not be of this earth at some moments in time, neither Travis Hunter. Whew! All right. And that is our college football 2-minute drill. And that also concludes today's show. That is all I have for today. I enjoy doing this. Like I said, my schedule's all over the place. My show day is a little inconsistent, but I definitely enjoyed doing this. It was fun. This show will come out to you Friday morning with some several instant reactions, kind of as I'm live watching the WNBA game. So that'll be pretty cool for you guys to hear. But I thank you guys for rocking with me. Like I said, a little bit over 52 minutes. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. This is your host, Justin Jackson, signing out.